He was still there, because the third time he disappeared I had my hand on his shoulder, and he was solid, still there under my hand. Ufologist William F. Hamilton, who was a good friend of Van Tassel, interviewed some of the witnesses to this event. About 30 people were present for this session. Venuto took out a crystal device, identical in appearance to the one worn by Solgonda, and proceeded to demonstrate it by tapping it and disappearing from view. Dan asked Venuto to repeat this performance and reached out to touch his shoulder when he disappeared again. Dan found Venuto invisible but tangible. I interviewed Dan and another female witness about 3 years after the event and when Saturday night sessions were a thing of the past. William F. Hamilton, Alien Magic, 1989, p. 9. I have never listened to these interviews nor seen any transcripts, but I hope they are preserved for future research. To know who was a genuine contactee or fake Van Tassel was given a secret code by his visitors. Like a covert agent, he used this code several times in his meetings with various people in the UFO movement. This was one of the reasons he could say that Howard Menger was genuine. Van Tassel personally investigated the Menger contact claims and interviewed several of the witnesses. His defense of the Menger story was presented in proceedings. In my contact with the four men who landed here on August 24, 1953, they gave me information which they told me to use as a key to establish authentic, or phony, contactees in the future. Howard Menger used the words of this key properly and correctly. That code words were used was also revealed by Howard Menger's wife in her book Song of Saturn, 1968. Connie Menger mentioned a meeting Howard had with one of the visitors at the local post office. He smilingly spoke the code word to Alan, Howard, which Alan recognized immediately as one of the means of identification between friends and agents of the visitors from other planets. 109. This was the reason George Van Tassel in an article Flying Saucer Activity Analysis could state that the authentic, publicly known contactees can be counted on one hand. This hidden or covert cooperation with the visitors George Van Tassel at one time planned to publish in a separate book. But he was advised by his visitor friends that the information should not be released as it was too sensitive at the present time. In the 1970s, Van Tassel and his second wife Doris Andre Van Tassel published an information sheet on the coming book. It stated, "The tremendously exciting book which is in preparation is the true story of a visitor from Venus. It is called Venuto and has verifiable proof of his unusual abilities from a well-known investigative laboratory in Los Angeles with his photograph included also. It is difficult to write about this book, Venuto, because of its startling contents. It is so amazing and astounding that all the words which come to mind hardly does it justice." William Hamilton mentioned there were many people who met this group of visitors in the 1950s, but very few became public contactees. One of these was George Van Tassel's second wife Doris Van Tassel. She was a sort of booking agent for the genuine contactees from the early 1950s and very much involved in covert cooperation with the visitors. But she almost never mentioned her own contacts with the visitor group around Mr. Wheeler. One exception was at an Understanding convention in 1976. A short note in Understanding magazine reported, "Two women were a delightful of the program. Doris Van Tassel told the story of her contact with space people, a fantastic story it was too. Until you have heard her, you've missed something." Understanding, Volume 21, No. 5, 1976, p. 6. Doris Van Tassel also wrote a small children's book, Susie's Sudden Saucer. During her later years, she also worked on a book on her experiences with the space people. What happened to this manuscript I have not been able to find out. The real and behind-the-scenes full story of the 1950s contactees is waiting to be written. Information from some of my correspondents worldwide indicate that this benevolent, alien group of visitors are still around but working only behind the scenes on various projects. The test made in the 1950s with public contactees was abandoned as so many couldn't handle the situation. The test put a tremendous psychological strain on the contactees, who sometimes acted irrationally and didn't understand what was happening to them. Some lost their head in the glamour of publicity and embellished their stories with faked encounters and photographs. British ufologist and author Desmond Leslie noticed much of this problem. He had hoped to meet the visitors, but in later years was glad this didn't happen. Noticing how publicity and illusions of grandeur have ruined the lives of several alleged contactees, he concluded, "Vanity lurks skin deep in most of us. The eager crowds, the silly adulators, the hungry sheep seeking some new stimulus, the temptation to be the great I am, I might well have become the worst of the lot." Commentary on George Adamski in the second enlarged and revised edition of Flying Saucers Have Landed. Who was Paul M. Vest? Was there a hidden hand, an ancient esoteric society behind some of the first UFO contactees of the 1950s? Were George Adamski, Orfeo Angelosi, Daniel Fry, George Van Tassel, Howard Mangareo involved in a test made by this hidden group? This is the controversial basic theme and theory presented and documented in my new book Gideon 08 Turvander. UFO or den esoterisca tradition, Return of the Gods. UFOs and the Esoteric Tradition. The book can now be ordered directly from Noman Publishing House or Bogus. I have discussed this variation of Valley's esoteric intervention theory in several earlier blog entries. Much additional data and a new dimensions to this theory was provided by the theosophical scholar Jocelyn Godwin, who kindly sent me of an unpublished manuscript documenting a hidden hand behind the outbreak of the first, very physical, spiritualistic phenomena in the 19th century. He has also delved into this intriguing hypothesis in a 4-series of articles, The Hidden Hand, in the academic journal Theosophical History 1990-91. According to official theosophical documents, written by Constance Wachtmeister, Charles Leadbeater and Annie Besant, the first 19th century spiritualist phenomena were created by a secret lodge, the Yucatan Brotherhood, custodians of the ancient wisdom and a branch of the planetary guardians. The object was to challenge the materialistic worldview by creating unexplained phenomena. Was this lodge also the hidden hand behind the 1950s contactees? An important source of information that made me seriously consider the possibility of an esoteric society behind some of the 1950s contactees was several articles by the American journalist Paul M. Vest. He was a frequent contributor to Fate magazine in the 1950s and 60s. Vest was obviously very well informed on the esoteric tradition and paranormal phenomena. His article on Theosophy and Helena Petrovna Blavatsky in Fate, October 1951, received favorable comments from Borister Zirkov, editor of the collected writings of H. P. Blavatsky, Fate, February, March 1952. Vest wrote articles on subjects like medium Daniel Douglas Home, fairies, Alice Bailey, the Count of Saint Germain, and he also revealed several personal paranormal experiences in Faith's column True Mystic Experiences. But the most important and really intriguing article from the pen of Paul M. Vest, Venusians Walk Our Streets, was printed in Ray Palmer's magazine Mystic Magazine, August 1954. Also reprinted in the Journal of Borderland Research, March, April 1982. One day in the summer of 1953, Vest receives a phone call from a man calling himself Bill, who asks for a meeting to discuss some articles. He appears in a rather mysterious way at a bus station in Santa Monica, California, and they travel by car to Vest's apartment. Bill has dark, almost black eyes, black hair, high cheekbones which give him a somewhat oriental look. His skin is unusually white and the fingers very long and tapering and seem to be without joints. What makes Paul Vest very intrigued is that Bill's hand feels like it has no bone structure beneath the skin. Years of research and experience in occult and paranormal phenomena has made Paul Vest something of a skeptic. I have met swamis, yogis, mediums, clairvoyants, mystics and self-styled messiahs by the score, but I have never been duped by any one of them, even those who are sincere but self-deceived. Also, I have met several persons whom I know without any doubt to be true spiritual adepts, even as I have known several sensitives, or mediums, who are honest, sincere and able to produce authentic paranormal phenomena. But this person, Bill, was like no person I have ever encountered before. Bill wants Paul Vest to contact and write an article about Orfeo Angelussi as he has made a trip in what is popularly known as a flying saucer. After a skeptical comment by Paul, the stranger continues, "Orfeo needs help now. That's the primary reason they sent me. To request that you aid him in telling his experiences to more people." Bill mentioned that Angelussi has met highly developed extraterrestrials but that he is not one of them. Bill also gave name and telephone number to several other individuals who have been contacted and asked Paul to check the stories. One of these is Morris Beam, reporter on Los Angeles Times. When Bill has left, Paul Vest contacts the people on the list and they all confirm meeting this strange man, also known as Mr. Wheeler. Orfeo Angelussi's wife Mabel was not amused by the visit. "Oh, that man gave me the creeps. He rang the doorbell one day and introduced himself with an odd name I can't remember. He seemed to know everything about us. It frightened me. There was something so strange and downright weird about him." But Paul Vest follows the advice of Bill and write three articles for Mystic magazine on the experiences of Orfeo Angelussi, published in November 1953, May 1954 and October 1954. The story of Mr. Wheeler's involvement with many contactees and ufologists in the 1950s is very well documented in several books and articles. A good source is The Great Venusian Mystery by James Crenshaw, Fate, June 1966. Even the skeptical ufologist James Moseley regarded it as one of the strangest saucer cases I have ever been involved with. The Wright Field Story, 1971. "I have found many new data and documents on this case, presented in my book, indicating an apparent connection with the esoteric tradition and a hidden hand behind the UFO contactees in the 1950s. But I have not succeeded in finding any biographical data on journalist Paul M. Vest and find it notable that no American ufologist have followed up on this case or made an interview with Paul M. Vest. Maybe someone reading this blog can provide more clues? Whoever Bill or Mr. Wheeler was, during the short meeting, he revealed to Paul M. Vest a vast knowledge of the ancient wisdom. After his initial apprehension and skepticism, Vest noted that his visitor was a much wiser, gentler and more evolved being than I and with infinitely greater perceptive ability. Who was this unknown visitor, sent by a secret group to promote the first UFO contactees? Bill's very realistic explanation as to why they don't show themselves openly in our world comes to my mind when viewing the present situation in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Mexico and many other countries. Upon your earth, the mere color of one's skin, a slight difference of religious belief, merely belonging to a different race or country, in fact the most trivial deviations precipitate animalistic belligerencies, hideous brutalities and the bloody slaughter of millions of your fellow creatures. Can you then truly be surprised when I tell you that the beings of certain other worlds view earth as earthlings might look upon a den of deadly serpents stinging each other to death?" Some further notes on Paul M. Vest. In my latest book Gideno 8 Tervander, UFO or Denesoterisca Tradition, Return of the Gods, UFOs and the Esoteric Tradition, and several blog entries, I have advanced the theory that some of the controversial physical contactees of the 1950s were involved in a cultural influence test, an experiment implemented by a group of benevolent aliens, Earth-based or extraterrestrial, a group with access to Vimana technology. Within mainstream scientific ufology, this is a rather heretic theory and can be regarded as an expanded version of Jacques Vallée's esoteric intervention theory. A brief summary of my arguments for seriously considering this theory follows. 1. Many years of investigating and documenting physical contact cases have convinced me that some individuals, very few, have actually met and communicated with aliens from somewhere. 2. In spite of their faults and personality idiosyncrasies, there is circumstantial evidence that the following contactees were involved in a cultural and psychological test: George Adamski, Orfeo Angelosi, Daniel Fry, George Van Tassel, Howard Menger. 3. The contact experiences of journalist Paul M. Vest indicates that the test was a carefully orchestrated plan by this benevolent group. 4. The message or information presented to these contactees is a somewhat simplified version of the esoteric tradition, with basic ideas such as a multiverse reality, reincarnation, universal laws for the evolution of consciousness, Earth the quarantine door, prison planet, man not alone in the universe, etc. In order to detect and understand the similarity in ideas between the contactee messages and esotericism, a thorough acquaintance with the works of Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey is required. Few ufologists have this background. 5. The hidden hand similarities between the outbreak of spiritistic phenomena in the 19th century and UFO phenomena in the 1940s and 50s. In the esoteric tradition, this hidden hand is the planetary guardians, the custodians of the ancient wisdom, scientists of the multiverse, using phenomena to expand the worldview and consciousness of man, a form of education through astonishment. A seminal influence on my developing this theory has been the contact experiences and ideas presented by Paul M. Vest in his article Venusians Walk Our Streets, originally published in Ray Palmer's Mystic Magazine, August 1954. From an esoteric viewpoint, this is one of the most fascinating and intriguing articles ever written on the UFO enigma. In an earlier blog entry, I discussed Paul M. Vest and his meeting with the enigmatic Bill. For many years I have tried to obtain more data on Paul M. Vest, without much success. From Janet Kirsner, National Archivist of the Theosophical Society in America, ADIA, I received the information that Paul M. Vest was living in Santa Monica in 1940. He was single and working as a government clerk and living as a lodger. Checking with the Santa Monica Public Library, I was informed that Paul M. Vest was listed in the city directories from 1940 until 1958. Some very good help was provided by Joshua Bluebuzz, author of Bigfoot: The Life and Times of a Legend. Joshua also maintains an excellent blog, Arantia and Mary Harding. In 1935, Paul moved to Seattle, Washington, and later to Santa Monica, California. In the 1940s and 1950s, he worked for the city government in various capacities, including a collector of fees for licenses. He died in Los Angeles on March 5, 1983. In some of the articles that Paul M. Vest wrote for Fate magazine, he presented himself as PhD, but I have found no data of where he obtained this degree. Paul M. Vest. The articles Paul M. Vest wrote for Fate magazine in the 1950s and 60s indicate that he was an accomplished and erudite esotericist, well versed in the writings of Helena P. Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. He defended these pioneers in two biographical articles. Commenting on Blavatsky, he wrote, "One day the world may discover that this maligned and abused woman was even more right than we imagine today." Fate, October 1951. His assessment of Alice Bailey was given in a biographical article in Fate, June 1963. No modern voice, however, has spoken out more forcefully and authoritatively affirming the reality of the Masters than that of Alice A. Bailey. In the pages of Fate magazine, he also shared several personal paranormal experiences and encounters, presented under the Fate heading True Mystic Experiences. In the December 1952 issue, he relates an out-of-body experience when he was close to drowning while swimming in the Pacific Ocean near Sal Beach. "I was suddenly no longer in my drowning body. The sea, I watched swimmers rescue my body and haul it unconscious to shore. Since that day I no longer think of my body as I, any more than I would think of one of my garments as I." P. 65. In the February 1954 issue, Vest relates an experience that happened in 1928 while he spent some time at a summer resort in the Colorado Rockies. He enjoyed walking at night in the forest surrounding the resort. One night he discovered that he was lost in the forest. In a clearing, he discovers a mountain cabin, but when approaching, he is overwhelmed by a sense of foreboding and fear. Then, about 10 feet ahead of me, a soft glow appeared. Astonished, I saw that the light formed the outline of a tall robed figure, the details of which were not visible. The figure pointed off into the forest to my right. Vess walked in the direction the figure had indicated and soon found his way back. The next morning he was informed that a very violent murderer had escaped and had been captured in the cabin in the forest. P. 52-53. Perhaps it was these experiences that initiated his interest in the deeper mysteries of life and entered his years of research and experience in occult and psychic phenomena. As Vest relates in Venusians Walk Our Streets, "I've always been something of a skeptic. I have met swamis, yogis, mediums, clairvoyants, mystics and self-styled messiahs by the score, but I have never been duped by any of them, even those who are sincere but self-deceived. Also, I have met several persons whom I know without any doubt to be true spiritual adepts, even as I have known several sensitives, or mediums, who are honest, sincere and able to produce authentic paranormal phenomena." The enigmatic Venusian Bill, also known as Mr. Wheeler or Venuto, is a key figure during the early contactee era. Several journalists, ufologists and contactees met and interacted with him. I am somewhat surprised that no one in the US has done any follow-up investigation on this case. George Van Tassel met Mr. Wheeler, who visited some of the Van Tassel meetings, witnessed by many in his group. In his magazine Proceedings, Van Tassel relates, "I personally talked with Venuto, who figured in the Los Angeles Times case, and who worked for Los Angeles County for several weeks. This Venusian, dubbed Venuto by the reporters in the case, visited us here several months after he disappeared from his job in Los Angeles. This visit was in the presence of 23 witnesses." Proceedings, July 1956, p. 6. In another article, George Van Tassel also mentioned that Mr. Wheeler, when visiting Giant Rock Airport, demonstrated a technical device that made him invisible. The man didn't dematerialize. He was still there, because the third time he disappeared I had my hand on his shoulder, and he was solid, still there under my hand. The encounter with Bill was obviously a momentous event in the life of Paul M. Vest. He recognized his visitor as no ordinary man, but a much wiser, gentler and more highly evolved being than I, and with infinitely greater perceptive ability. I have not found any more articles by Vest regarding his involvement with Mr. Wheeler. I hope my American colleagues can discover more data on Paul M. Vest, perhaps also his personal archive and correspondence. The cultural impact of the first generation contactees was tremendous, and the books they wrote translated and published in many countries around the world. There are still many questions and riddles to be solved relating to this esoteric intervention. The Howard Menger Enigma. There are two basic ideas or themes presented in my latest book, Gedenal 8 Tervanda. UFO or Den Esoterica Tradition, Return of the Gods. UFOs and the Esoteric Tradition. First and foremost, I have documented the ideological influences of the esoteric tradition on the historical development of the global UFO movement. Secondly, the book is an attempt to interpret the various aspects of the UFO phenomenon using the esoteric worldview as a paradigm or working hypothesis. Esotericism as presented by Helena Blavatsky, Charles Leadbeater, Jeffrey Hodson, Cyril Scott, Alice Bailey and Henry T. Lawrence. The perhaps most controversial of the book is my theory that some of the first generation physical contactees were actually involved in and tested by a secret, benevolent, Earth-based group with access to an advanced Vimana technology, possibly in co-operation with an extraterrestrial group. I specifically refer to Orfeo Angelasi, George Adamski, George Van Tassel, Daniel Fry and Howard Menger. The test put a tremendous psychological strain on the contactees, who sometimes acted irrationally and didn't understand what was happening to them. This theory is not in line with mainstream scientific ufology, who usually regard these contactees as totally unreliable frauds and myth-makers. But my many years of in-depth investigation of physical contact claims in Sweden and abroad finally convinced me that the answer was not always that simple. I noted that in some instances there were circumstantial evidence, witnesses, that contactees actually did interact with strangers from somewhere who obviously possessed an advanced technology. American ufologist Ted Blocher reached a similar conclusion after studying the Woodrow Dierenberger case. A renewed study of the contact experiences and philosophy in the more intellectual and academic presentations of the esoteric tradition then added interesting data and new perspectives on the modern UFO contactees. I am of course aware of that this is tricky and controversial territory, and to seriously enter this domain for many academic scholars and ufologists equals intellectual harakiri. In this respect I prefer to be a heretic among heretics, adhering to the motto of Riley Crabb, for many years director of Borderland Sciences Research Foundation: if I have one goal in life, it is an uncompromising search for truth, whatever that might be, and wherever it may lead. Howard Menger, who died in 2009, is one of the more interesting of the 1950s contactees, in because of his open admission that he didn't really understand all of what happened to him, and his speculation that the people he met could actually have been a secret Earth-based group, and that he was also involved in a sociological experiment conducted by the Pentagon. Unfortunately, no American ufologist or journalist have made an in-depth study of his experiences. I have for many years collected documents relating to Menger. Timothy Good kindly sent me the whole transcript of his interview with Howard Menger in 1978. In the 1980s I corresponded with psychiatrist Dr. Bertolt Schwartz, who knew the Menger couple and reached the conclusion that the contact claims or case of Howard Menger is far from being an open and shut or black and white matter. In several interviews Howard Menger speculated that the individuals that contacted him were actually a benevolent secret Earth-based group. In the Timothy Good interview he stated, "It's possible that they don't want us to know that they live here on this planet, that they would probably throw us off the track by telling us, you know, Venus or Mars." Relating to this idea is an interesting quote in Menger's book From Outer Space to You, 1959, 159. "There are also spacecraft, which are built by people of this planet. These people are in communication and in service with people from other planets. They are people who possess a high spiritual understanding and have reached an awareness of natural law." If there is any truth in this statement, this secret group would, in contact with ordinary people, of necessity have to work like classic intelligence agents, sometimes using mild forms of deception to remain undiscovered. In the case of Howard Menger there are many such clues. Code words were used by his contacts. In The Song of Saturn, 1968, Connie Menger mentioned a meeting Howard had with one of the visitors at the local post office. He smilingly spoke the code word to Alan, Howard, which Alan recognized immediately as one of the means of identification between friends and agents of the visitors from other planets. 109. There is a very interesting comment made by contactee George Van Tassel in his magazine Proceedings, February, March 1957. Van Tassel personally investigated the Menger contact claims and interviewed several of the witnesses. His defense of the Menger story reveals a fascinating detail. "In my contact with the four men who landed here on August 24th of 1953, they gave me information which they told me to use as a key to establish authentic, or phony, contactees in the future." Howard Menger used the words of this key properly and correctly. George Van Tassel: if some of the 1950s UFO contactees actually were involved in a test or experiment orchestrated by unknown benevolent visitors, the really deep mystery is, who are they? I have made a detailed study of the worldview and philosophy presented to the contactees by the visitors, and especially the books written by Adamski, Ange Lussi, Fry and Menger are somewhat simplified but very clear expositions of the esoteric tradition, even in specific details as the claim that our planet is quarantined and a sort of interplanetary Alcatraz. Could therefore this test have been made by a group belonging to the hidden custodians of the ancient wisdom, the esoteric tradition or science of the multiverse? If this is the case, Howard Menger was not only involved with Pentagon and the CIA but also with what I refer to as the HIA, Higher Intelligence Agency. The well-meaning and naive man or woman, if this group actually exists, why don't they show themselves in the open?